welcome to the Buckmaster Show for the 11th of April, 2011. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL, and we are always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings, 9 to 10. We re-air from 7 to 8 in the evening. Lineup for today's show includes our Monday political face-off featuring commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. We're going to be talking about that new state budget, maybe a little about the national budget as well. The bottom of the hour, we will be bringing in our Mexico contributing editor, Keith Rosenblum. Rosenbaum will be with us, and we'll close out the show with a conversation with artist Lynette Jennings. Our show is primarily interview-driven, but there's always room for your comments and questions. The Buckmaster Show live line 529-3508. It's time for our Monday political face-off featuring commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Vince Robigo, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General. Gentlemen, good to see you this morning.
Good to see you, Bill.
Well, we have a new budget. It is balanced for the first time in several years, but
the state budget.
And I ask both of you, and we'll begin with Vince, at what cost? Is it on the backs of children and poor people?
It is. That you took the words right out of my mouth, Bill. Yes, it is a balanced budget, but it is at the expense of the working class, the average Arizonan just trying to get along, kicking several hundred thousand people off of access, health care. Again, cuts to education. The cuts are so bad that the tuition is going to be going up extremely high again because the regents are having to deal with that. So we have problems all across the board. The issue I have is, on one hand, the legislature, leadership of the legislature, giving these additional tax breaks, which happened about 2 months ago. They did that very quickly, similarly, almost under the dead of night. And so they give on one hand, and yet they take away from the average working class citizen here in our state who's been hit. You know, we are one of the hardest hit states in the foreclosure crisis. Our budget and our economic crisis is per capita. I believe there was a study put out. I forget the foundation that put it out a couple months ago, that we are, in fact, probably the worst budget scenario in the country if you look at take into account all the factors. So it is at the expense of the working class, the poor, children, education. And yet those that the haves keep getting the breaks and the benefits by virtue of the special giveaways that the legislature's given them.
John, some of your thoughts on the new state Arizona budget.
Well, I'm excited about the budget. We have, for the first time in almost a decade, we have a truly balanced, structurally balanced budget. No gimmicks, no games. You know, this state was broke. We were per capita in worse shape than California. That's the truth. And we have got the balance, the budget balanced. The key to this is creating jobs. We have to revamp our regulatory system and our tax system to get jobs created again. In between times, we had created an entitlement system in this state that was totally out of control. Let me give you some numbers. For example, we had more people on access than we had school children in this state. And the access programs that we were providing for people during those times not only had way too many people on them, but they had they were pro-Cadillac insurance programs. They were not safety net insurance, medical insurance programs. You had no, it's better, Bill, than any private company insurance. You had no deductible, no premium, no copay. You got any medical service you wanted.
So you're saying it was like a top of the line.
It was better. It was a better insurance program than our senators and congressmen have in Washington. It was a complete giveaway, any medical service you wanted, and it was for more people than we have school children. We are simply putting our programs back into context because this state cannot live with that kind of program.
So you're saying it was just not sustainable.
That's right.
I would disagree. I don't think he just said it was not sustainable. He just said that access, which is for poverty-stricken individuals in this state, is a Cadillac insurance program. That's just beyond the pale for me to even hear, because the reality is, if you sure you can look at numbers, but the reality is we got a lot of poor people here. This is about poverty level individuals. This is not about people getting a free ride. These are people that cannot afford what your congressman gets in terms of health care. They cannot afford these things. And the reality is what's going to happen is this is going to increase costs. It's going to increase costs because people that do not get adequate health care are going to wait longer to get health care. The problem becomes worse. They go into the emergency room. Costs are going to skyrocket. Premiums are going to go up. So it does not do anything of the sort. It's an illusion, and it's cutting off your nose to spite your face in the long run. The other part of this is this claim that this is about jobs. The reality is this is gonna harm jobs. It's ultimately gonna take police off the streets, because what's gonna happen and what is already happening is it's like a shell game. What's happening is they're shifting the cost. They're gonna shift more costs onto the counties and cities. That's the big battle that's occurring right now. So all in the idea of claiming that they're not raising taxes, but they're shifting these costs onto the municipal entities across the state. The League of Cities and Towns, they are crying foul. What has happened is this is being balanced on the backs of women, children, poverty-stricken. Oh, this goodness. Is a value-based judgment on this budget, and the values that we've shown is that the current Republican leadership in charge of the legislature, they like lobbyists, they like big corporate giveaways,
oh my
and
goodness,
they don't
Vince.
Like the average working class citizen
oh
who's
goodness.
Poor and can't
let's,
afford
let's
health insurance.
Let's stay on reality, Vince.
So he's,
let's
saying
not,
it really hammers
let's
the poor
not
people.
Let's not be demonizing people. Let's talk about facts. Well, let's talk about facts.
Sure.
You talked about how this was a program for the poor. The fact of the matter is, Vince, that up until now, the access program didn't go to the poverty-stricken. It went up to 200, sometimes 300% of the federal poverty level. It was not a program for the poor. We don't have more poor in this state than we have school children. And the Cadillac program, Vince, is reality. You had literally any, under the old access program in this state, you had any medical service you wanted, period. No premium, no copay, no deductible. And you could get second opinions. You could get anything you wanted. That is not sustainable. Now, all we've done.
Have you ever been on access, John? What you're saying is not the reality of the access
that
program.
That is the reality of the program, Vince.
You know what? You can say that, but just saying it doesn't make it true, John.
Well, I will tell you, that's what the program allows. And
you've looked at the program in detail.
Absolutely, I've looked at the program in detail. Look, I ran for governor talking
right,
about this
I know,
program.
I know
the program in detail, mm-hmm. and that's what the program's about. And it doesn't just treat people at 100% of the poverty level. It goes up to 150, 200, 300% of the poverty level for various categories of people. Vince, it is not sustainable. This state is broke, and people have to get back to reality that we cannot sustain this type of bankrupt budget in the state. We can't print money like the federal government does.
No, nobody's trying to print money. The reality is that if you look at all of the states, we are battling for last place. We are essentially among the worst of the worst of states in terms of poverty level, in terms of people who are not on health care, in terms of infant mortality rates. We are the highest numbers. We are number 48, I believe, in terms of teen dropouts. We are battling to be the worst of the worst amongst all of these terrible indicators. And so when you start throwing out these things saying we have, you know, it's 150%, the reality is we are not accounting for, the Republican leadership at the state legislature is not accounting for reality here. You know what? People's jobs don't grow on trees. Money does not trickle down from the heavens like manna every time there's a tax cut by the Republican leadership. It hasn't been proved over the last 20 years. Since 1990, there have been 42, probably now 43, I guess, maybe 44 since the last session, of tax cuts to the general revenue stream in this state to the tune of almost $4 billion. Now, if you look at that, where is this great job base that it should be sustaining us in these times since 1990? We're in 2011, and we are at the bottom of the worst of the list.
Vince, the greatest cure for poverty is jobs. The enemy in this state is no jobs. The enemy in this state is a system which, tax-wise and regulatory-wise, kills jobs and has killed jobs. Let's talk about spending. When Janet Napolitano took office in, I believe it was 2002, the state budget was $6 billion. By the time she left 5 years later, she had the state budget almost doubled up to $11 billion. We doubled the budget virtually in 5 years. You cannot sustain that. And all we're doing, Vince, is bringing the budget back to a sustainable level. Everybody cannot have every program they want. And frankly, Vince, the Democrats are going to have to get used to the fact that the public is buying into this. And the public understands it. There was a poll yesterday, or that came out yesterday. You guys call the Republicans extreme? A Rasmussen poll stated yesterday that 58% of the public says that the Democrats are more extreme than the Republicans. Only 38%, which is the bare Democratic base, says Republicans are extreme. You guys need to get off this extreme approach.
When we come back, Vince, you will be first up to answer that. Just hold that thought, because this is the Buckmaster Show, and we want to hear from our fine clients of the Buckmaster Show and buckmastershow.com. We will be back very quickly with our political face-off on Monday morning. Thanks.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 20 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. And Vince, before we go to hear your comments, before the break, John was citing a poll about that the Democrats were viewed as more extremists than Republicans.
By 58% of the public.
58%. Let's take your response real quick. Let's go to the caller first. Bill has a call here for the Buckmaster Show. And it's about Mr. Barrett, the former CEO of Intel, questioning whether or not he would ever put a plant back in Arizona. It wouldn't even make the top 10 list because of our failing education system. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, that's the question. I would also add that I've read somewhere that Apple Computers was looking to locate a new plant, and Arizona wasn't in the top 15 states. I've seen data to show that Arizona is far down the list of being competitive with surrounding states. You know, when we talk about things that make a difference, when you hear in the newspaper, reading the newspaper here on the news, what's happened to college tuition. In 2003, my daughter began at the university. Tuition was $1,500. So effectively, the legislature has increased tuition in less than a decade by 667%. This is not good for the economy of Arizona. And this is all because we have cut and cut and cut things to give the wealthiest people in this state a tax break. Taxes in this state are low. They are low. And somebody needs to pay attention to the rates that people really pay. It's just mind-boggling to me, Mr. Munger, that we keep hearing this stuff over and over and over again. But here we have somebody who, as I understand, the Barrett Honors College, ASU, is named after Mr. Barrett. So tell me how somebody that is that connected to industry, that's connected to education, can be wrong. And I've heard plenty of people in the conservative wing tell us that he's just wrong.
Okay, thank you, Bill, for your call. John Munger.
No, I think he's right. The question isn't whether the education system is bad. The question is how you solve it. And I'll tell you that as a former regent, there's two issues with regard to K through 12. Throwing money at a problem doesn't help when only 53 cents of the education dollar gets into the classroom, which is what's happening in Arizona. The national standard is somewhere between 65 and 70 cents on the dollar gets into the classroom. Because our education system is controlled by the Arizona Teachers Association, and because they have a lock on how the system works, our education system is very poor. And I will tell you, if throwing money at the system worked, you need to note that since 1970, we have tripled on a dollar-for-dollar basis after inflation. We have tripled the amount of federal spending in the education system nationally, and our scores have remained the same, tripled since 70. The largest spending states in the country on education are, counting D.C., are D.C., New Jersey, and New York. Their school systems are amongst the worst. If spending money, throwing money at the problem, solved the problem, they would be the best, not the worst. The answer is how you spend the money. And we have a system that is controlled by people who refuse to reform the system. The answer is reform. With regard to the university, incidentally,
okay,
what your kids are paying for at the university is research, research, research. I'm all for research, but not at the expense of teaching. Now, the universities are one of the only entities in this entire country that refuses to cut costs. They seem to think they're sacrosanct, and I say this as a former regent. They need to get their spending under control, and they refuse to do it. What the students are paying for with these tuition hikes is more research, less teaching. The universities have to decide what their mission is. And if they're going to do research, it needs to be paid for by other than student tuition. But that is not what's happening. So we need to get real about what people are paying for here.
Okay, John Munger. Vince Ribago.
Well, let's take these all in order. First, going back to the budget. John says, look, we can't afford everything. We can't have everything. Therefore, we have to pick and choose. Well, the reality is what is happening here, though, is the people that are getting the benefit of that choice are these folks that have gotten the lowest tax rates, have gotten corporate giveaways for years. Now, Republicans have been in charge of the state legislature since 1991. That was the last time that there was a Democratic House, that was a Senate for one term. There's been one Democratic governor for 6 years here, this past decade.
Who doubled
here.
The budget.
6 years, Republicans in charge for the remaining 21 years. And over that period of time, tax cuts to the tune of over $4 billion now. And the reality is we are seeing the effects of that because we do not see those jobs. I agree with John that people need jobs. People need jobs. People need jobs. But what has happened is this idea that tax cut after tax cut after tax cut therefore equals jobs is just false, blatantly false, has not been proven, and has not worked in Arizona. So the reality is the choices that are being made are to balance the budget on the working class, the poverty-stricken, the poor. A system, an educational system, forgetting a minute for about the, before we get into this issue of the budget of the educational system, the reality is we are at the bottom in terms of our educational budget, K through 12, in terms of what is spent if you start balancing and looking at the other states. So I agree. Throwing money to any problem doesn't just solve the problem, but when you are throwing a couple of sunflower seeds at something here, that's basically what's happening. So they're having to work with a system that is already unsustainable in general in comparison to the rest of the country. We are not competitive. We are not going to be competitive with this sort of effort. Now, on this issue of education, the reality is nobody said, let's just throw money after money after money. That I didn't hear the caller say that. The reality is he's talking about the cuts to the educational system. Business leaders from across the state, such as the one that was mentioned by the caller and others, have said, this is not right. This is not right. We've got to build and invest in the educational system. The governor ran on the idea that she was pushing this tax, temporary sales tax increase, that we were going to protect education. And then, sure enough, sleight of hand, what happens this year? They cut it. And they say, we got to cut it. So the reality is people do need to pay attention, because what is happening is one thing will be said, and then as soon as the dust clears, another action will be taken, and they will cut. And that is what has happened here. And this idea of growing the budget, the blame always gets cast
We're
back at Napolitano. Let me add this last thing. We made value choices. We made the value choice as Arizonans to fund all-day kindergarten. So when you say the budget was grown, those were value choices that people supported. We wanted that. So that's why that's a prime example of why the budget grew.
Well, Vince, let's get real about what the cuts are. The cuts here are 2% of the education budget. Are you telling me that an educational system that's as inefficient as ours can't take a 2% cut? The problem isn't the cut. The problem is
2% every year goes pretty deep. That's what you said last year. 2%.
It's been a total of 4%. And Vince, when we're getting 53 cents of the dollar into the classroom, what we're trying to do is say to people, start spending your money right. The universities, they need to get their mission straight and quit raising prices. They are not sacrosanct.
That's the Monday Political Face-Off. Vince and John, thank you very much. We will see both of you back in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Political views collide.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Opposition leaders in Libya rejected a plan proposed by the African Union to end the fighting in the country. It had been approved by Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. The arrest of Ivory Coast President Laurent Gbagbo could end the civil war there. CNN's Dan Rivers reports it follows months of violence after the country's disputed presidential elections.
Clearly, this is a part of the puzzle that needed to be solved in order to defuse this situation. This is the result of weeks of standoff.
Japan is going to evacuate more towns near the damaged nuclear plant because people could receive high doses of radiation. Strong storms moving across parts of the South could produce tornadoes today. There's severe damage in northern Wisconsin after possible tornadoes hit overnight. Hot, dry weather is not helping firemen who are battling a lot of wildfires right now in West Texas. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
For contractors looking to cut costs, the Home Depot is a great place to start, where right now, all special order Anderson windows and patio doors are 10% off. That's a nice price break on one of the most trusted names in windows, which means you can build with the best quality products and still lower your bids, which will help you win more business so you can grow a stronger one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through April 20th, U.S. only.
There's no guarantee a penny saved is a penny earned. No guarantee a word to the wise is sufficient. Even with conventional wisdom, guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guaranty, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guaranty's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguaranty.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
It is 35 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show and buckmastershow.com. According to a recent opinion poll, Mexicans are in a funk over their president, and a majority of them think that he is losing control of the country. 6 out of 10 Mexicans think that organized crime gangs are getting the upper hand in the war that President Calderon launched against drug trafficking when he came to office in late 2006. The poll was conducted by Demo Technia. Joining us is Keith Rosenblum, and he is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the border. Keith is a former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. Keith is founder of the website MexLink. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing pretty well.
Well, what do you think about this? Mexicans obviously are not very happy with the way things are going in their country, and a lot of it has to do, I guess, with their war on drugs.
Keith goes to Mexico City on Wednesday of this week, and Keith has been traveling the border and crossing as a non-reporter weekly, sometimes daily, for the last couple of years. And what jumps out at me about polls like that is what jumps out at me about U.S. polls as well, which is the nuance, the change of one word or one phrase can alter the an entire dynamic or an opinion. And so it's not this one poll that particularly alarms me or sends me running any direction. It's actually what I see every time I go into the country, and this is south and border and everywhere, is a very buoyant and prosperous and really safe country in the scheme of things. And I remind you that I'm from the Chicago area and have lived in lots of strange places. And I think that I continue to be, maybe foolishly, a real optimist about where Mexico's headed, but it's still a country that's at war with itself right now in the ideological realm. And when we talk about gangs taking over, or what we're really dealing with is a domestic Mexican issue, and that is, do they want to support the United States on keeping our prices of pot and cocaine and things like that at affordable levels? It sounds strange to hear it couched in that way, but that's basically what's going on. I reiterate, the drug war is not a Mexican problem. President Calderon, in my view, is fighting a proxy war for the United States. I think it's an enormous waste of money, enormous waste of time, and I think that Dwight Eisenhower is probably realizing that what he said has come true, that we have the military-industrial complex having taken over. In this case, it's to fight a drug war. The Mexicans keep buying a couple more helicopters, spending a little bit more money, and that's what we have. It's not a war like an Afghanistan war, but what we have essentially is a domestic investment in more and more infrastructure to defeat an enemy that's undefeatable.
Keith Rosenblum is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the border. He is with us talking about Mexico. And Mexico has an election, Keith, as you know, coming up in 2012. What will the big issue be? Will this whole drug issue be one of the big issues or not?
I think it is. I think that public safety right now, I look at homes, when I go into homes throughout the country and talk to people, it is probably the singular topic. There's others. The Mexicans themselves look at health care, their economy, use of the army, for example. It took me, when I came up the other day from Hermosillo, once again, I get 2 hours of delay at the checkpoint, the drug checkpoint at Cato Bobby, that's near Benjamin Hill. There was a couple, young couple, like 20s, with this little baby on board. And they had to get off. It's the middle of the night. The kid has a cough, and I think to myself, the army's going to let this couple stay on board with their baby. No, he has to get off as well, and it probably exacerbated his cough. It just, at every single level of society, you see the army, the federal police, everybody fighting this war because government's going to protect us from something that really is questionable whether we want to be protected from, that is to say, the drug war. And I think that what's happening is, and if you see that poll and you see others, there's quite a bit of erosion for what government should be protecting us from. And I think, as you know, I believe that we didn't learn from prohibition, and we're not learning today as well, and hence the enormous use of resources to continue to fight a war that in Mexico is unpopular, in the U.S. is popular, and soon it's going to collapse under its own weight.
Keith Rosenblum is with us. He's the Buckmaster Show contributor on the border. Front page, Keith, of the Arizona Daily Star. There was a piece about Nogales, Sonora. Apparently, the National Chamber of Commerce in Mexico has decided to kick off a campaign given a little money to some of the tourist communities in the country to kind of spruce up the image. I guess there's a lot of sprucing up that needs to be done.
Good idea, sprucing up. I got no problem with sprucing. I think that going to the issue right now of you and me going to Nogales is that it just takes too long. It's just you got to cross going south. You got to pass like a half dozen burly border guards with machine guns. I'm talking about our side. And even if you don't have anything to, it's a frightening prospect. I'm not frightened. I have nothing to declare, nothing to hide, nothing to declare. And still I have to go past a half dozen guys with automatic weapons. I mean, why create that as a, they could do it subtly. They could take a few steps to either side. It's not done. It's a very deliberate, intimidating technique. So add that. And anybody who's been around law enforcement or whatever, the inclination that you would spook at something like this is high, even though you have nothing to, I feel like running and I've got nothing to run from. So you cross into Mexico, you go do your shopping or you go out to eat, and then you come back to an environment that's as intimidating when you come back into the U.S. Where'd you go? What was the purpose of your trip? It used to be, are you a U.S. citizen and do you have anything to declare? And now there's a interrogatory that's right out of a CIA or an FBI. Like, it's a multi-level thing where the questions are totally irrelevant to what your experience was. So I can see why. I mean, it's not a Mexican issue of sprucing up. It's been spruced up. The country is, you know, they receive people. It's a lovely place to go. That chances of anything happening to you are far less than if you happen to decide to spend the afternoon in Wilcox or Bisbee. But it's intimidating going south, intimidating and time-consuming coming north. I mean, we're the ones, once again, that have created this psychosis.
The folks there that are the business folks really say, though, the fear factor, as you know, Keith, is really paralyzing them down there. Business is off 85%. La Roca, the famous popular Sonoran eatery in Nogales, trying to survive. They've been in business 39 years. Their business is down from U.S. clients 85%. That's not sustainable.
Well, it's not down me. I was there eating last
and
last
what did,
Monday.
What did you like
it
there?
It was excellent. I love La Roca, and I wish that La Caverna would come back, and I go to everywhere in Nogales. And I know that, and having been a member of the media for quite a while now, I know how media preys on people's fears and how easily we're sold that terrible things are happening. All I can tell you is statistically, the chances of anything happening to you going to Nogales or Naco or Sasebo or Tijuana today are less than anything happening to you going for a walk in Tucson. But I understand that fear sells, and it sells all over the world.
There is a new fat. You were talking about getting into Mexico. Nogales Port of Entry opens a faster lane. Is that for commercial only, or can other folks use that?
No, that's going to be entirely. That's in response to the need for getting the Fords from Hermosillo and your grapes and tomatoes from Culiacán. That's not going to make any difference in the guys in your life as a pedestrian or as a motorist. They've tried some things, but still, essentially, you're looking every time you cross, you're looking at anywhere from 15 or 20 minutes if you cross at 2 in the morning to 3 or 4 hours if you decide to be foolish enough to cross during Holy Week.
Yeah, because years ago it was, they just asked, well, did you buy any tequila or anything or any
No,
farmers?
Today it's, did you buy any tequila? Why did you think about taking your trip to Mexico? Who do you know down here? What have you done? Has anyone given you any packages? It's a line of questioning that, to me anyway, merely justifies Homeland Security justifying itself and its bigger budgets.
Getting back to the Mexican elections, who is emerging as the front runner, and what are they all about?
It is a really cool scenario right now. You have three parties that have that each one believes it has dibs on the presidential elections in 12. You got the PR, the PRI, which has been out of power for 2 6-year terms, the PRD, which would love to occupy power, and you have the PAN, which has had 2 presidents in a row and wants to stay in.
Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much
for
being with us.
Thanks for the chance, Bill. Good to see you.
We'll talk more about that Mexican election, very important as it comes up. Thanks, Keith.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of 5 major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Cañada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson community. Our thrift shop donations and sales provide more than half of needed funding, which goes to programs like Operation School Bell. Since its inception, Operation School Bell has provided clothing and school supplies for more than 38,000 children. But we need your help. Donate an item or a financial gift. Shop our thrift store or volunteer. For more information on how you can make a difference, visit AssistanceLeagueTucson.org.
Minutes now past the hour. Next on the Buckmaster Show, a conversation with artist Lynette Jennings. Miss Jennings was a longtime host of the Discovery Channel of Lynette Jennings Design, in which she taught architecture design and an appreciation of fine arts to over 80 million households twice daily. Dr. Mark Sublett, owner of the Medicine Man Gallery in Tucson and Santa Fe, talked recently with Lynette Jennings.
Hi, today I'm with Lynette Jennings, and wow, it's been a long time since we've done it. Since we've done an interview together. We're both laughing because a little history. I'll just give you a little history on Lynette. She has done her own TV show, the Lynette Jennings Design, which was on Discovery Channel for like 18 years. Yeah, wow. 37 countries, right?
That's right.
37 countries. She's taught architecture. She's done her own. She was an editor of Canadian Living magazine. But I'm laughing because I would guess, and I'm just guessing, actually, it's been maybe 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah, was I think so. Long? It's about 15 years.
Yeah, so when I was a budding art dealer.
That's right. You sold baskets.
I sold mainly Native American art material. And
that's true.
Lynette had come in to do a show on Tucson.
That's right.
And did your due diligence and found somebody who I guess was the basket guy.
The basket guy. I was looking for a basket guy.
Yeah.
So but the fact that you were a physician and named your gallery the Medicine Man Gallery was the most intriguing part. It made good television.
I think it still is, actually, the most intriguing part. But she did the show on basketry, and we've been friends ever since. And You've gotten out of the Lynette Jennings Show. That's long gone. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was time. I mean, 18 years, and, you know, you want another, want to look at another side of life. And I had always painted. I'd always been involved in the arts. I mean, everyone who watched the show would see me perform all these different crafts and do these demonstrations and teach them how to do certain techniques.
Right.
And then I would go home at the end of a very, very long day and wish I was an artist, because that was the love of my day. That was my favorite part. It was very personal, and I would go home and just, oh, God, if I could just paint all day long, you know, I'd be happy. And I was happy. I love the show. I mean, I love performing it. But, you know, there's a time where there's you need a change. And I really felt that, you know, that was it. As I moved to Colorado and always have loved the rocks. I mean, people can stare at trees. I can stare at a rock all day long. It empowers me.
And that was 202 that you...
And that was 202.
And then you started a nonprofit as well, correct?
I did. I was, in my personal life, I actually went through breast cancer. Mm. Learned a lot about why there's an art connection with a lot of people who experience that. And started an arts foundation that not only was for artist residencies on another completely other objective, but also to create a foundation where women who have gone through breast cancer and are still facing the future,
mm-hmm.
Can find sort of an outlet, a place of expression. We are actually, since recently moved to New Mexico, the foundation has been in hiatus for a little bit while we made that transition, and we are just getting our 501(c) in New Mexico so that we can operate those retreats there.
And that's Eagle Heart Center, correct?
Eagle Heart Center.
And that's eagleheartcenter.com,
yes.
Correct, as well?
Yes,
that they can go and visit?
Yes.
So what kind of events would be upcoming with your foundation?
We have another arts criticism conference coming in 2013, which we are preparing for. We just finished one this last year, where artists and critics from all over the world gathered, there were about 200 of us, and talked about criticism in the arts. This is my partner, my husband's pet project is art criticism. He's an artist as well.
You can mention his
ceramics.
Name. It's
Jim Romberg, who is a ceramic artist and shown at your gallery.
Yeah.
And then in the spring of 2012, we will be ramping up the retreats for cancer survivors again. So
excellent.
You'll see something on the website.
And that would be, so if they wanted to learn more about that, go to the Eagle Heart Center.
Eagle Heart Center for Arts and Inquiry.
Yes, and yeah. And the website is eagleheartcenter.com.
Correct. Right.
Now, you had said you were going to maybe do your website as well. Is that in the makings right now?
My personal website is in the makings.
Yeah, good. Excellent. That's it.
I've been too busy. I've been painting.
We like that. She does.
Yeah,
now,
she does.
And that is actually... The other story here is that Lynette is actually a very gifted artist. She will, I think you have this innate quality that comes through in your artwork instantaneously. And it's funny, Lynette called me maybe 3 years ago, would it be? Possibly? It goes quick.
Could be, yeah.
I think it's about 3 years ago. She called me in Santa Fe and said, I'm doing art now, not doing my show, and would you take a look? And of course, my immediate response was, oh, God. I hope it's good.
I was afraid of that, too.
I hope it's good, because if it's not, what do? Well, I'm going to have to do what I always do. And that's
be honest.
Be honest.
And I wanted an honest opinion.
Yeah, and I'm unfortunately known for that.
Uh-huh.
So she did bring her artwork to the Santa Fe Gallery. And a great sigh of relief ran through my body when she pulled out the first canvas and I saw that her artwork was exceptional, and I really feel it is. I think you have a unique sensibility that comes through, the emotionality, the color. It's more of Lynette's work to describe it on the radio, to me, is a blend between abstraction and realism laid down in a palette knife. And maybe you can tell us how you see your art.
It is an emotional reaction. I don't paint plein air, and I don't paint from photographs. I paint how I feel and what I remember about a certain place at a certain time of day. Sometimes it's, I'm fascinated with geology, although I don't study geology by, you know, any more than the average person who does a roadside stop and look at something.
Right.
But there's a fascination with the eternity, especially when you move to the West. I mean, the Native American culture, you sort of osmose a lot of their spirituality, about their feeling that they have always been here, they will always be here, you are one with the universe. I mean, we all, you know, have a certain time where we connect with that
right.
sort of mind space. And it's not as much that as there is a fascination with the fact that we look at these rocks and these incredible faces, mountain faces, and you feel like, yeah, they've always been there, and yet they're always moving and changing. It takes one grain of sand and one rock to tumble a rock face, and the next time you come there or you visit that place or you drive by, it may not be the same. And
right.
so there is a certain movement that I try and capture, and I can do it with a palette knife, I can't do it with a brush. Having architectural training, if I put a brush in my hand, I become a draftswoman. I start making everything very precise and very specific. With a palette knife, it forces me to be more emotive
mm-hmm.
rather than a draftsperson or a painter of a realistic scene. I can somehow capture that movement. And, you know, there's a great ad on television right now. I think it's a Martin Luther King Foundation, and where there's an artist who steps up to a canvas and he says, I never know what it's going to be until I get there, and then it's magic.
Mm.
And I just heard that the other day, and I said, you know what? That's exactly it, because I don't know what I'm going to paint when I step up to the canvas. But it's whatever I happen to remember most recently. And it's, you know, the palette knife and the color I pick up will dictate the time of day. It's not, I don't paint something that happens to be in the afternoon. I don't set it up that way.
Right.
It appears. And controlling that apparition is what I think the challenge is. I mean, I can go into the studio at 10 o'clock in the morning and come out at 10 o'clock at night and forget to eat.
Yeah, that's a good sign, I can tell you.
And
for anybody listening who happens to be an artist, if you do that, gallery owners like myself are much more motivated to see your work, because that means you've lost transition of time, and time just is about what you do, and it's not a real number. And it's very interesting, because in the Native world, there's a thing that we call, that they all say is Indian time, which is just, it's not a real 9 o'clock is not 9 o'clock. It's when you're hungry, when you're tired, you do those things. And it sounds like to me that you're on Indian time.
Well, it's taken a while to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole career has been, my gosh, the television business, highly structured. Architecture, highly structured. Corporate world, I still consult. I have to make a transition. When I still do some consulting work and trend forecasting, some major corporations in LA, I go to LA once a month, I spend a week there. It takes me 3 days to get that out of my system to get back in the studio when I get back.
And you can start painting? It takes you that long before you can actually even paint?
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely.
That's amazing.
Different mentality, different. Everything's different. I mean, the way you go through your day is different.
That was Dr. Mark Sublett talking with artist Lynette Jennings. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants at 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it for this Monday. I am Bill Buckmaster. Check us out at buckmastershow.com. Have a great day.
Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Local talk at its best.
Up next, you won't believe what's going to happen.
This is Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.